And I heard that foreign cause is the only key to their hearts. And it's no love, and I'm locked out, cause all I got right now is my balls. And fuck these blogs, celebritons, wanna be rappers, try to be hard. Labels telling me I'm a gamble, I'm just telling them play they cards. Cause I work hard, matter of fact, no. More specifically, I work jobs, flipping burgers, scrubbing floors. Matter of fact, I deserve applause. And fuck these stars, we on earth, kept it real amongst these frauds, and did what they said wasn't right. How does it feel to be fucking wrong, huh? Oh my.
Hey, 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 what's up? What's up? How's everyone doing at home? I hope you're doing great.
What if you're not at home? What if you're at school?
What if you're in the car?
You're in the car. What if you're at work? What if you're in the grocery store?
I hope wherever they are.
We're all over the world.
Yeah. I hope wherever you are, you're happy. You're here with us, listening to the Carolyn Joe Show. My name's Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
How you guys doing? Who's in the studio today? We're not even at the studio, are we?
We're not at our studio apartment. We are at the studio of Jellyvision. You know, we were hanging out there last week and we just decided we should invade again because they are so awesome. And we're here with Jen and Tim and their friend Steve.
Hi.
So hey,
is this really technically called the Love Shack? Can we call
it
that?
Yes,
it is
studio.
The Love Shack. Didn't you feel the love when you walked through the door?
Oh, I always feel the love.
It's the reason we hugged you.
You can actually check in at the Love Shack here. I think it's Foursquare official.
Yeah.
Really? Foursquare official.
And people do.
And you can check in so all your stalkers know that you're home.
Yeah, well, the stalker stats are the same as last week, hate to tell you.
So here's one thing that I've always wanted to find out. I want to know how basically you two, Tim, and can I call you Jen?
Yes,
is that fair to call you Jen?
It's as fair as anything else in this world.
All right. I want to know how you guys met, how you guys first started teaming up.
Timming up. That's what we did.
Timming up.
We timmed up.
is there, because how long have you guys been teaming up? It's timming up. How long is this now?
Gosh, it's going on 2 years. Años? Yeah, 2 years, I guess. Yeah.
How did this start?
Tim and I met back at the Soundry when the Soundry was in existence, and he came in as an artist to talk to me, and then shortly after, he came in to help me start an improv troupe at the Soundry from scratch. And to Tim's credit, he has been our creative director from day one, and now we have a troupe that is 2 years old. And then somewhere along the line, I came up to him and said, hey, I have this idea. I want to do this live talk show to kind of further give exposure to the artists and musicians and writers and all the interesting, talented people that came through the Soundry. And he said, yes, I'll co-host with you. And we didn't know what we were doing. And now, almost 2 years later, we've still been doing that. We're on our 63rd episode
coming up. That's right.
And then through all that, we've just become really good friends.
Do you guys remember like your very first episode and all like the way it came together?
Wow. We shaved somebody's eyebrows.
What?
And Reese. It was not planned.
Reese.
It was a train wreck. Eyebrows?
Tell me how that went. I want to know.
Now, was this also on like the Ustream as well?
It was live. Okay. It was streamed live, and we streamed every episode live up until episode 61, and we didn't know what we were doing. We just thought we have the internet, we have a stage, and we have a place where we can do this, and we have a lot of interesting people. Let's just throw it all together.
Yeah.
And over time, we realized we needed a little bit more than just a desire to throw things together. So,
Was there a structure before, like the first episode?
The one that I came in. I don't even know what I was on. Like episode 3 was my first episode, and then I didn't do any for a while.
Right.
And then I came back like around 15 or something.
Wait, what do you mean you didn't do any for a while?
No, you were only gone for like a couple. I only had like 3 guest hosts, I think.
Oh, okay, cool. I don't remember exactly everything.
It was a blur in the beginning because it was so bad.
I remember I did the St. Patrick's Day special. That was like one of the first ones I remember.
When you guys mean bad, what does that mean? Like when you're like, oh my God, like.
Absolutely. It was total chaos.
And this was live on the air, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot we've done in the air that we can't take back.
There's a lot of, like
what?
There was like some statistic, like if you watch the Jellyvision show, you'd be like 400 times more likely to, you know, call a suicide hotline afterwards. It was one of those things.
It's live. And so there's this thing about being live, you know, and when things get crazy, you sort of forget that you're on the air. And so I don't know how many people I've talked about that I shouldn't have talked about on the air. Talking how many things shit. I've said about my family that, oh my God, if they ever bothered they to have know? An interest in me, talking they would know. No,
I
they
hope
don't
they
know.
Don't hear this.
They're it's not, pretty, it's pretty they're funny because, like,
me. I feel like not that into me. Sorry. They'll never know.
That could be the follow up to he's just not that into you. Yeah, it could be like my family is just not really into me.
No, they're not. They're totally not into me at all.
That's what I felt was like the most attractive thing.
I never
about,
read that book.
That's why I felt that was the most attractive thing about being live or recording live is the fact of like anything can happen. Like you can say whatever.
Exactly.
No safety net. And things slip out like crazy. Like there's so many things that I've said that I'm like, ooh, I walk back into work the next day and I'm like, I feel like I'm like, you know, people are looking at me like I'm going to get fired.
Oh yeah. And we say ridiculous things because, you know, in the back of our mind, we're entertaining and we have sort of this comedic background. So we'll say things, you know, that we don't really mean, but we'll say them with a straight face. Well, so I'm sure some people think we're just horrible.
I mean it. I mean that dolphin thing. And I want.
What dolphin?
We disagree on the dolphin question.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Can I ask you two a question?
Yes. We have a standard Jellyvision show question.
Sure.
And we ask all of our guests. Tim and I have asked ourselves the question, and our answers are different. So here's the question.
Okay.
But see, now that I know, it's almost going to become like a top this.
I'm trying to remember if we talked about this while on the show.
Well, let's go ahead and let's just ask.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, Tim. Ask it.
Would you kill a dolphin?
Yes.
For $1 million?
No, you did ask this.
Did I? And when you guys were on?
Let's see if
you
changed.
And I don't even remember what we said.
Would I kill a dolphin for $1 million?
$1 million.
I'll give you a scenario, too. Okay, and the dolphin, the dolphin's an asshole.
Yeah.
He's in your backyard. He's in the backyard right over here.
He's not an asshole.
Love Shack Studios. No. Oh, okay. And he's in the kiddie pool. And he fucked your mother. Okay, I got a we got a not a torpedo, we got a harpoon gun.
Wait, how did he? Is it a he?
It's a he, yeah.
How did the he fuck my mother?
Oh, there have been reported dolphin rapes.
When there was a petting zoo in the waters
and then,
off the coast.
Then the dolphin just jumped.
Which hole?
He jumped with his dolphin dick. It's like a long one too. It's like.
But was it consensual?
I don't know how Joe's mom felt about it, but I mean, it happened. And,
I don't want to think
like this
about
is important.
This.
I mean, in at least in this scenario, it happened.
So with these details, will I kill this
for $1 million cash? It's in a briefcase. It's a nice like stainless steel briefcase.
Non-taxable.
Black yes. man is handcuffed to it.
Of course I will.
Okay.
Why not?
Okay. Nice.
Carolyn.
I don't know if I ever even like came to a decision about this, but now it's all coming back to me that we did discuss this. Well, but I'm like,
wait,
I don't know. Like, I don't even know what I said.
Let me get into
time.
Further details about this.
Like,
how are you going to kill this dolphin? How can we kill this dolphin?
To me, it doesn't matter.
Was it just a harpoon?
Harpoon gun.
Any way
can you
want.
Strangle a dolphin?
Any way you want.
Oh, he's got a nice thick
like,
neck.
You could give him a lethal. You could do it kindly. You could do it kindly. You could do a lethal injection. The fact is, the end result is you've killed a dolphin.
Can you imagine strangling a dolphin? How's that even possible?
You
can't strangle a dolphin.
The two slimy.
Fingers in his blowhole.
Did you have to put? Yeah, you have to put. You have to stuff like
a bowling ball.
I'm going to get a good grip. You're going to go to sleep. We do jujitsu, you know.
Well, Carolyn's refusing to answer the question.
Hole.
I mean, like the animal lover of me, like it's like
it's a title.
You know,
that's not an animal.
It is a mammal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like
not an animal.
I mean, I would not want to harm like any animal.
It's a mythical.
Is
creature.
It a vegetable? It's just like broccoli.
It's a narwhal.
But then, like from the life standpoint, I guess I would have to go do some research about like how many dolphins exist.
Oh.
Are they on the endangered species?
They are, actually. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are they still? They're still on there?
Like, because I'd have to like think about and like that specific breed of dolphin
bottlenose.
And see how many. I don't know how many are left, but I feel like if there's a lot out there, and I'm like, $1 million.
I feel like dolphins are assholes anyway.
I'm kind of on the fence. I'm sorry, I can't.
Okay,
have a clear decision.
500,000. 500,000, do it, Joe.
What, to not?
To kill it.
But I was already going to kill it before.
Okay, well, I just wanted to see how low you're willing
Dude,
to go.
Dude, this dolphin raped my mom.
Yes.
But worse than that.
But your mom was like swimming with it and teasing it.
She wanted it.
She was wearing a very nice
one piece.
She kept
petting him and petting him.
She was
and
giving
what the
all
hell?
The wrong signals.
It was a cheetah patterned one piece.
He's a wild animal.
Really, at the end of the day, all you had to do was ask. No.
Okay, what about a dog? Would you kill a dog?
Dog is a different story.
Would you kill
there?
A dog for $1 million?
No.
Mine are safely locked
there
up,
has,
by the way.
But see, there has to be a reason. Is it just some random dog?
It's he a lost
really,
a fight.
It's a very cute dog.
What if it bit off and ate the face of your, like, your baby?
Oh,
okay,
dog.
See, that I would be like, I would
call the cops. I killed
just
the dog.
A normal
the dog's
dog
already dead.
Living a normal dog life.
Living a normal dog
it's
life.
A dog
being
you find in the dog
no, see, like if you ask me that, living a normal dog life,
Lassie.
Think of what a normal dog life is: being catered to, everything being, you know, getting
your
basic
poop
water
picked up.
Yeah. Are you angry enough at this dog, Joe, to kill him for $1 million?
Well, if they're living a normal dog life, that means they have everything that a normal human really wants.
The normal dog life, like, to me, sounds pretty sweet because it's almost like, at least in the Northern Virginia area where we are recording right now and where we all live and know of this fantasy life of Northern Virginia, I feel like the dogs around here are so catered to.
Oh,
and probably
definitely
in every metropolitan city.
I know.
Like, I feel like dogs get treated better than humans. I know whenever I see, like, a dog that's in pain or hurting or something bad happened to it, I have more of a reaction than if a human gets hurt.
I do too.
Yeah, I'm like,
same
oh,
with
that,
movies. Like, people can get shot up in the movies, I don't care, but if you kill a dog in the movie.
Yeah, but have you been? Have you ever been attacked by a dog?
Yeah, of course.
See, that for me, that changes that.
Well, you have to think, dogs are part wolf.
Part wolf?
Yeah.
If you're attacked
part
by a dog,
wolf.
Usually it's
wolf.
Your fault.
Wolf. Yes. Wolf. Wolf, wolf, wolf.
Part wolf.
Like, every dog, even like the most innocent poodle, which I'm not really super into, but like, you know, some little ritzy dog that you would
poodles are spoiled,
but those are wolves.
Yeah.
They
and
are, they
fact,
are descended from wolves, but they're real different. Like, it's like a chihuahua and a wolf, I can't put them next to each other and be like, oh, I'm gonna get this wolf right here because he fits in
but
my bowling bag,
you
know. You
think that like the dog would be cute and nice, but then they do attack.
Oh no, poodles are good guard dogs.
Chihuahuas,
you can look up
are very vicious, actually.
They can
they're
be
vicious little guys.
They're little Napoleon
so
complex.
If they were as big as like a German Shepherd or Chihuahua, if it was that big, it would probably be pretty damn badass.
If it was the size of like a pit, man, that thing, like the same strength and size as a pit with the same attitude, that thing would be like, we wouldn't have Chihuahuas anymore. We would kill them. The state of California would be like, I'm sorry, we have to kill them all.
They'll end up being like that, what is that one dog that it's in Texas that starts with like a C?
What?
Chupacabra.
Chupacabra?
Oh, yeah. Chupacabra. That's not a dog. That is an animal. That is a creature.
That's cryptozoology.
It's part of the dog, right?
It's a mixed creature.
They found it's like when coyotes and coyotes chupacabra get mange. That's what they've
oh, really?
A lot of people have determined and that's what it is.
I've seen a fox with mange before and it was scary.
It looks like their hair falls out and they turn into like purple skin,
yes,
and like their gums wear away so their teeth look even longer.
And then the
freaky.
His tail fell off. You know the fox's tail is like luscious and
oh, it's
you know,
really
like,
nice. Yeah, you put it on
the,
like a hat,
the one that
like
I saw was like
tail,
a red one and he was like all luscious, like looking like a luscious hot Robin Hood. I'm attracted to the Robin Hood, Disney's Robin Hood animated. I'm attracted to it.
Okay,
I'm
well, thank you for
admit
telling us. Thank you.
I'm down with that.
That's information we will, I don't know what to do with.
It's going in my memory banks.
Like, I don't
I'll
know why, I don't
later
know what to do with it. Like, first of all, like, ever since I was a little kid, I was like, he's pretty hot. And then, like, on top of it, he's a cartoon, and on top of it, he's a fox. Like, he's not even, like, human. But I find him attractive.
And that's okay.
I like Jessica Rabbit. Speaking of like female animals,
well, at least she's like
female.
She has like the female form
oh, she's
of a human.
She does. So she's not really a rabbit, but her name is Rabbit. But
yeah.
I do
she
find her very attractive. Oh, you know,
she is very attractive.
What about Hollywood?
Hollywood. Wait, who's Hollywood?
Hollywood is from the movie Cool World. Another Brad.
Oh,
Brad
I
Pitt.
Do remember
going
Hollywood
back to Brad Pitt.
I've
we
never,
mentioned Brad
I've
Pitt
never
last
seen
week.
Right.
I've never seen that film.
Not bad. Not bad. Ooh, have you ever?
There's a lot of dark stuff being made at that time.
Have you ever seen the God, what is it called? Like The Haunted World of El Super Bisto. Have you ever seen that movie?
That sounds very familiar. No, actually, I have seen
that movie.
Came out
a little while ago, like about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
That's a pretty sweet movie.
Because isn't that, that's by Rob Zombie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's his first animated feature film. That's
are there like some hot characters on there?
Oh,
and you're like, okay,
no,
they're cartoons, it's, but they're pretty
and
hot.
Then I want to, you should check this out if you guys get an opportunity
Sailor
to
Moon
check it out. It's like, really funny.
Like during that time when Cool World came out, there was a lot of I would say demented cartoons that
the
were
Max,
a lot.
Remember the Max?
Yeah, like there's a lot. Max was awesome.
Whatever happened to the demented cartoons?
Liquid Television. Or, you know, I mean, that was a lot of demented shit. Flux, Beavis and Butthead, The Head.
Yes,
remember
The Head.
The Head. Do you remember that one? There's an alien living inside this dude's head.
Oh,
with super
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And
at one point,
wasn't there someone who had like a lawnmower stuck in their head?
Oh, jeez.
That's bizarre. The Autobots.
What about Duckman? Remember
Duckman?
Duckman.
That was like the golden age.
That was Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
Like Liquid Television and
Liquid Television
and all this. Yeah.
What about Rudy on Fat Albert? Am I on my own here?
The state?
He's pretty cute.
Wait, is he the guy state, that... The there state. Was like this one guy from Fat Albert that had like a pink thing on his head?
Yes.
It was like a seashell or something?
Oh, yeah. It was a hat. It was like a robber hat.
I never understood what was going on with
Rudy. Wait,
is that the guy who had like the eyes?
Yes.
So mysterious. I was always like, why is he wearing a seashell?
You know who...
He's hot. That's why.
Is that Rudy?
Yeah.
You seen a live action Fat Albert movie with Kenan Thompson, and he plays Fat Albert.
SNL's Kenan.
Is
that Kenan?
Yeah,
is he an SNL Kenan?
From back in the day on like Roundhouse and then all that.
Remember
like, in that movie, that Fat Albert movie, Kel Mitchell plays the dude with the eye slits.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he plays him, and then he's like, I think it's him. I might be wrong. It might be Marcus Houston from Moesha. We're going way back. This is the nostalgia episode right here.
That's why, like, are you squeezing my neck?
Wait, that's like
I'm
UPN
trying to
stuff,
think of
man.
What exactly Moesha was. I'm thinking of Sister Sister, but what exactly
Moesha was Brandy?
I remember Moesha. Oh. Okay, Brandy.
And then her
okay.
little...
I know now.
See, back at that time, those were the only channels I watched was UPN, WB. I'm not going to lie. I watched those channels.
What was the allure for you?
Some of it felt like,
black
oh, man.
People. Black
yes.
people.
I'm not going to lie.
Were you
I'm
one of those guys
lie.
That wanted to be black?
Sometimes I believe I
he
am
He wanted
black.
To be a Wayans brother.
I watched that show, Wayans Brothers.
Look
I watched
Martin
that show.
Say
that was a good show, man. I'm not going to lie.
Do you know what I like? Sanford and Son.
Nope. Sanford and Son is awesome.
I listen to that, or I watch that sometimes when I'm at the gym. It's good.
Oh, yeah.
It's good stuff.
Are you saying you guys didn't watch the WB or any of that stuff?
I watched a lot of it.
Remember WB had...
They had Nick Freno, licensed teacher. I don't know if you remember that one. That was really obscure shit.
They had Unhappily Ever After. They had the Lawrence Brothers. And Smart Guy was on there, I think.
Smart Guy was a WB.
Yeah, I was going to say WB.
Okay,
yeah,
WB.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, they had Unhappily Ever After with Nikki Cox, Bobcat Goldthwait, and Kevin Connolly were
that's
all
right.
that stuff.
Martin was on Fox.
What about Hanging with Mr. Cooper?
That's ABC.
That was good. I liked Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Yeah, that was like the sitcom golden age.
Yeah.
Now, well, do you realize that there was a time when every sitcom was like pretty much black, like all black?
I wanted them to be all black.
I mean, now there's hardly any.
No,
Lies.
No, they
all
have
the
a
family.
Somebody said dinosaurs. Said
no,
that.
There is
Jeffersons, Good Times, What's Happening.
Wait, I don't know if that's
a trend.
Huh?
All in the Family was like one of the first like real like sitcoms.
What was
pretty
that
much.
With white sitcom, is what you're saying?
I mean, it was a white sitcom, I guess.
But there used to be, most of the sitcoms were not white. I mean, think of Different Strokes.
The most popular ones.
The most popular ones were all
I
like,
disagree. Charles in Charge and Family Matters.
We're talking about a certain era.
What era are we talking
Three's
about?
Company,
the 90s.
Mork and Mindy.
Yeah. We're talking about the 90s.
In the 90s. There was a lot of black TV. Yeah, there was a lot. I mean,
there was more black TV in the 90s than there is now.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's true too.
Are you sure?
That's an interesting.
Are you sure there's a black channel now?
But the thing about it is, that
major
was on
networks.
A, it's
you know,
like
ABC,
they left
NBC,
mainstream.
Yeah, major
CBS.
Presence.
Do we have any black sitcoms on the major networks?
Do we have sitcoms? It's, really?
We have Modern Family.
It's reality
we have the
TV.
Middle. We have sitcoms.
Oh, that's true. But I'm talking about like I mean that's a single camera sitcom.
There's no real sitcoms.
I'm talking about like three camera sitcom of like.
Are you talking about like that shit?
Friends. I'm talking about Friends.
What about Charlie Sheen? That's the most popular show.
Two and a half minutes.
How I Met Your Mother. You got a couple things
white,
like that
white,
out there.
Oh, Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang
white.
Theory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
White.
No, I believe they all moved. I believe Tyler.
But yeah, the, on the
that
on
Madea
the
shit is cool. Meet the Parkers.
Yeah, but Tyler Perry has so many of his.
What about that? Everybody Hates Chris. That was black.
But that was a single camera.
Okay.
Single camera sitcom.
I'm not counting the cameras when I'm watching sitcoms.
Oh, but
you must be a producer.
I do though because it is totally a different art form when you have that the in the studio audience type show like that with the
is that
the
a single camera?
No, that's a three camera.
Okay.
I do not like the laugh tracks or the audience participation studio things. Generally, not a fan.
But see, that's how I think of like a pure sitcom because now. When you had stuff with like, I first realized when they started counting in Malcolm Middle as a sitcom, I was like, okay, so now that counts as a sitcom. I guess it is because it's still comedy, but it's a single camera. The same thing with like Modern Family now, that's a sitcom. 70s show. No one watched that. I liked it.
I haven't heard of it.
It's got a lot of sleeper guys on it that were good.
No, because the 80s weren't cool enough yet.
80s are awesome.
They were still behind the curve.
It was also not enough time.
So, but by definition, a sitcom is literally just a situational comedy, right?
Pretty much.
So I guess you could put it into two categories, like yeah, you, like you, Joe does.
Now you can split it
one
up.
One camera and three camera.
But yeah, so the three camera one is like, that's how, you know, you even had like Fresh Prince back then, Martin, the Golden Age. What was the one with Queen Latifah in it?
Living Single.
Living Single.
Yes, Living Single. I love that
You're
one.
You're living in a 90s kind of world.
The 90s, man. I used to hate probably 2003, I was like, the 90s suck. But when like 2010 or 11 came around, I was like, you know what?
It's okay.
It was pretty good.
The whole time it was the 90s, I was like, this is the shit, man.
That's because we're living in an after 9/11 type of world now.
Oh, man.
Not to bring that up, but you know.
It's looking us all down.
I mean, but like I
forgot they were shooting.
We'll never forget.
We'll never forget.
Seriously. Put it on your bumper sticker.
Carolyn and I had this idea because you know how they have that ribbon? That has like the nine.
Done with the ribbons.
But you know how it says.
Yellow.
But we remember the
veterans.
Yeah. But you know, like it's like support a magnet you can put on your car.
Yeah, never.
But
yeah.
It had like it says like we'll never forget and the date. We were totally thinking about putting like our birthday in our name.
No, we were thinking
about having
like our own company, and then we can like have a two-color thing. Like you pick your own colors, and then we'll print up everybody that has
That's
their
birthday.
I honestly think it's disrespectful to people with Alzheimer's.
I know. I'm sure somebody's going to be offended by it.
What is the color for Alzheimer's awareness? Like black or something?
I can't remember.
Like, I'm sorry, it's just like darkness when I start to think about
this. That was a good one.
Thanks.
But yeah, like, I mean, I just think it's kind of ridiculous, though, because right after that event happened, everyone was like, pro-America, yeah, like,
right.
I support the troops. And then they, like, immediately, a few years later, it started kind of, like, becoming a little bit cool.
So passe.
And then they just remove their magnet. You know, it's like, it's like just so removable.
That's what I was saying. I was like, oh, so you're not even going to permanently stick it on there.
Yeah, if you really, really don't want to forget, like put a bumper sticker on your car and keep that car until you die.
Exactly.
What about all those people that have like the 9/11 tattoos? They'll never forget.
Oh, no, they won't forget.
And if they ever do, they can just look at their arm.
Exactly. But these days, you can take off tattoos, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it'll still be a remnant of it a little bit.
I mean, that's a good thing, though. If you get a 9/11 tattoo, man, I got more power to you. That's pretty sweet.
But 9/11 is just a date. I mean, if you have Alzheimer's or amnesia or something, you just be like, 9/11, I don't know what that means. Like, what happened on 9/11?
You're like, 911, am I supposed to call it?
Yeah, I mean, you could still forget.
On the subject of tattoos, let me ask you this. Jen, I can call you Jen, right? You don't have
yes.
We established this last
week. Confirmed.
Do you have any tattoos?
I do.
What type of tattoo do you have?
I have two coral snakes on my ankle.
So nothing on the base of your spine.
I do not have a tramp stamp.
All right. You know what I hate? I hate like, tramp stamps.
Oh, man.
I like how you had to like ask
I just was going
to
make sure.
You know, I know what you're saying. Like, because once you earn the name tramp stamp, but it is kind of a cool place. And I do like the idea of like things kind of peeking out, you know, but I would never get one now.
This is
my girlfriend has a really pretty one.
This is
a tramp stamp, though.
This is when I started thinking that the tramp stamp was not as cool. Was when my roommate in college got, or I don't know when, maybe she had it beforehand, but it had her initials and then it said established 1983, like on the back.
Awesome.
And I was just like,
"That's hot."
I'm sorry.
Hot.
You guys think you're
I'm
down
spit
with
on
it?
That tattoo.
Are you seriously? I didn't like it. I was like, man, that's a little much. That's,
I was fucking this girl one time.
Whoa.
Slow down.
Tim
people.
Is talking about something important.
I was fucking this girl one time and she had a tramp stamp and then it said Dick was here, but my name is Tim.
What? Wait, no, it was that was tattooed
that
there?
That wasn't tattooed on anything.
What? So it wasn't really like a design, like a
no, it was
a
like
flower
a
flower petal.
Is that real? That really happened?
Yeah, that really happened.
Was it like a handwritten?
Can we cross-reference
type?
This somehow?
It was kind of. Ooh, no, no.
Like, was it
the
like,
videos have been destroyed.
Did she get it like handwritten? Like Dick was here. Like
it
what
was,
type of typeface was it?
It was like it was Comic Sans. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no.
That's
oh God! Papyrus. No,
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, I never did.
It's
that.
A lighthearted font.
Oh God, I never actually. I don't think I've slept with anybody that's. No, I have. I have. Never mind.
That had papyrus tattooed on them.
No. did you? No. Oh
my
God.
Goodness.
I'm so. I can't even hear. I couldn't hear what you said.
Papyrus, the font tattooed
papyrus.
On them. You've slept with somebody
speaking
like that?
Speaking of tattoos, I have not. But speaking of crazy shit, there was there's this website. It's called theatersluts.com.
Whoa.
Write it down. Write it down. Type it into your browser.
Favorite website.
See, I was
can we go that hard?
You know, while growing up, you know, in this modern age. I was wondering, why isn't there a website for theatersluts.com? Because you know what? I've hung around a few of, you know, being like a filmmaker and being surrounded by theater or actors in general.
And everyone's just looking for attention.
It makes total sense.
Yeah.
Go on with your story.
So, this guy, he usually just takes these women and they go to this, like, it's a porn theater essentially, and then they go there and then the woman has sex with everybody. That's the whole
Wait,
video.
Just the woman?
It's the
one woman.
Yeah, it's a gangbang.
Wow. It's the same, but it's the same woman the whole time.
Oh, one woman, gross. Like a bunch of dirty guys somewhere in Florida.
Oh, she's clean.
Oh no, but one of these girls goes on the show, and then she goes and she gets the tattoo that says I got blank. I got fucked at the whatever on theatersluts.com.
Yeah.
Tattooed on her stomach.
Oh my god, what is wrong with people? That's just as bad as eating someone's face.
This is before she
must be an orphan.
This is before she goes there. This is before she goes to the theater. Then she goes to the theater and then she performs and then all the guys on the tattoo. And it's still fresh. It's not healed. It's very bad.
That's so gross.
That's one of those stories I just wish I hadn't heard.
The internet.
I know. Isn't it funny? Like you just can't erase
friend me.
You can't erase it.
Except my friend request.
I just hate it when I lose faith in humanity. And that's one of those stories that's like, okay, I have a little less faith in humanity than I did 5 minutes ago.
You like that tattoo.
Now that you've heard it, everyone
in Jelly Vision is part of an improv group or some... variation. Or have done improv before.
Yes.
I always made, I think even like Carolyn brought this up before, it's improv. And I can always sort of tell a person's personality by what's going to come out next. And I think there was a time where like, a lot of times we start to notice like, a guy would always just come in with something, I didn't mean to say that word, but would go into the situation and do like a sexual joke or have to do something like that. Is that something that always happens with you guys, or you notice
when we're performing?
Yeah, well, someone. Yeah,
I don't do the sex jokes too much. Do I?
But do you know of situations where like, oh, that guy's gonna pull out the masturbation joke?
Oh,
again,
well,
or
there's some
like
people.
That.
There's sure. one. I know. Yeah. I know an improviser that hits the floor a lot or starts to spontaneously have a baby.
She humps things.
She turns into an animal and humps things. Yeah, or she's born herself.
Or she. Yeah.
She humps
weird.
Things. She just goes to the floor.
Well, I'm assuming this is one person.
This is one person.
I guess she has like some moves, you know, like those are her moves. Like those are her go-to things where she doesn't know what to do.
Those are my strats.
Yeah.
Yeah. She didn't take my improv shirt off. She took my real shirt off.
She took your clothes off. She got
she
you
did.
Down to
she started
the bare
like,
skin.
Undressing me on stage, and I was like, "This is a little awkward."
To be fair, just so you guys know, Steve has got an 8-pack, and he's got a really good shoulder to waist ratio. So
the shoulder to waist ratio is what's up, I hear.
Just imagine that, ladies.
Did you hear that? He's a very barrel-chested man.
Yeah. So I think with the dirty stuff, like you know, people think you know, when they're just first starting improv, I think they use that as a crutch because they just think, "Oh, I've got to be funny."
Yeah.
And once you start like learning more about the like philosophy of improv and get to know like a little bit more about it, you realize that that's really just not the direction to go.
And that's also like even what I learned while doing this podcast is like when you first start out and you realize, oh, there's no rules. It's like, oh, I'm going to curse all over the place. And I realized that like a couple episodes down the line, it's like you can't just curse. It's not creative. You
right.
got to use if you're going to curse. Make that mean something. Is that
be strategic?
Yeah,
yeah.
You gotta place that in there in a proper way.
Well, anytime you have an audience, true. I believe you have to respect that audience, and part of respecting the audience is assuming they're intelligent people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if you know if I have an audience, I don't want to disrespect them by being like more stupid than I actually am.
Yeah.
You know, because that's not respecting them.
Do you guys ever run into like tough audiences that aren't really receptive of what's going on?
All the time.
How do you play off of that?
Oh, it's tough.
Sometimes I go and I pout in the corner after the show. I mean, sorry, I do that. No, you know what? I've got over that now. And like, you just do your work. You know, you play your stuff, and you just play it straight. You do your best.
Yeah.
And you like, you look them in the eye, and you do your stuff. And that's what I think is the best that you could possibly do.
Tim actually helped me with that recently, because we had a show where we had like a really tough audience, and I was just, the show didn't go well, and I was just beating myself up. I hated the show, and like after the show, you know, we sort of needed like a morale boost.
Yeah.
And Tim said something that stuck with me, and it's just like, you know, you're never going to learn from your good shows. You'll have a good time and you'll enjoy it and you'll get that little high out of it, but it's your bad shows that you're going to learn from. And I really like that, like stuck with me. I got a lot out of that comment, and so I think, you know, the next show we had, I was ready. I was like, I just came in with a whole different attitude. I was just going to have a good time. I made eye contact with the audience. I was smiling the whole time. We actually had a good show.
Yeah.
I don't know that me doing that had a part of it, but even if we hadn't, I feel like I went in like with a totally different mindset.
Good attitude.
Yeah.
So good attitude about
that
it.
Helped.
That's good. I mean, an audience. Oh, sorry. I know you were going to say
something.
Steve
wants to talk. Sorry, Steve.
It's okay. I mean, like, I don't ever let like bad shows really bother. I don't really. When the audience doesn't respond, I try not to. God, I'm going to rephrase this sentence 7 times before I actually say it.
That's okay.
when I go on stage, I don't have any expectations that the audience is going to laugh at any given thing in particular.
Yeah.
And so if they don't laugh the entire time, I just assume that they were ultra interested in everything I had to say, and that they were so interested that they weren't actually laughing, but that they still had a good time. At least that's what I tell myself. So, like, I don't really worry so much about when if they don't laugh, it's not a big deal, because I've had very experienced improvisers from like Upright Citizens Brigade and Second City and like all those other places to tell me that seriously, some of the best shows I've ever been to, they didn't audibly laugh once.
Yeah, I mean, I have that. Like, for me, if I find something very funny, like, I will not laugh and nothing will come out of me. The other option is that my body is going crazy and, like, all that's coming out of me is, like, a small huff because I can't even breathe. Like, I'm right. Just like, my body's like... and then that's I'm like, like, yeah. And, like, that to me, that's like, whenever I'm doing that, whatever that person said or did is like the funniest thing ever.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, definitely. Like I can kind of relate to that.
For sure. And so you just trust that, you know, if you're doing more recollection than invention, that like if it's something funny enough to recall that, I mean, if it's good enough that it actually conjures up a memory about it, then it's probably funny. Usually, like when you're on stage and you're thinking about these things, you're not like, man, unless you're just sadistic, you're not coming up with like terribly depressing stuff.
Yeah, that's true. And I will say that, you know, even the shows that I think have not gone well, not there's been that many, but every single one, people come up to us and say they enjoy the show, and they don't have to. Like, nobody's making them come up to us. So I always feel like that's a very genuine statement.
How do you really gauge a bad show? Just no response from the audience, or you weren't hitting your best creatively?
Yeah, kind of like that. I mean, you know, with improv, I mean, you know, even though Steve doesn't care if people laugh, I think, you know, you do, you know, you're out there to entertain people. You want people to laugh. The more they laugh, like, the more, like, energized you get. I mean, to me, I mean, I think that's just an easy way to know people are enjoying it.
Yeah, I think that there's a combination of those two things. Like, you know, even though, like, you're not supposed to be actually going for the joke when you're doing improv, you're supposed to, like, play it straight situationally and whatnot. You know, there's parts where, like, that was pretty funny. I just did that thing. I thought, you know, I was wiggling kind of funny. I thought maybe they would have laughed at that, and you don't get it. Sometimes, like, you know, you feel like maybe, you know, you're going into, like, a hole, and you're like, God, and you want to work your way out of the hole. So then, like, you, like, overcompensate. Yeah. And you're like, ooh, they didn't laugh at that. And it's that crazy kind of thing, too. But you just got to, like, listen. But sometimes you're like, ooh, I just didn't. I wanted to step out. I didn't step out. Or, like, you know, I went blue and I shouldn't have went blue. That means to go dirty, you know, for anybody who doesn't know who's listening.
Now they know.
But some of those, yeah, for sure. But some of those things, you know, I think it's a combination of the audience and then, like, how you feel.
Is there a pinnacle for improv? Like, is there like
what's your pinnacle, Jen? And then I want to hear Steve's, and
because that's what I want to know.
Me too.
Because I don't personally know what is the pinnacle. Like, what is the highest point you can possibly reach?
Oh, our points or the highest point, like as a professional
in the industry.
Yeah,
as an industry.
Let's all answer everything.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I don't. My pinnacle. God. I don't know if I've even. Spend a lot of time thinking about that. I mean, we have sort of like these short-term goals, like we want to perform more, we want to do sketch writing, we want to get on bigger stages, bigger audiences, get to ticketed, you know, performances where people are actually willing to pay money to see us. We do a lot of free performances right now. You know, in terms of like the world of improv, I mean, you've seen Whose Line Is It Anyway? I mean, you know, household name on TV, you can't get really any more famous than that. You know, Saturday Night Live. I mean, you know, there's, you know, you can become famous doing improv.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a long shot, but it could happen if you're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Tim?
Oh,
let's go down the line. Why not?
Yeah. You know, what, like, I guess the pinnacle of improv is, like, you know, being like somebody who becomes like an actual comedic actor or something like that. I think that's
is that usually the next step? It's like, okay, now I'm gonna
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different paths in comedy. Like, we were talking to a guy, Kevin McCarron, on the Jellyvision show about that, and like I actually like broke it down. I was like, I broke it down like I'm some kind of guru, but I'm an analytical guy and I do think about the stuff, and I like literally write it down. I'm like, okay, these are all the paths. You know, you can go a lot of different, you can be a writer, you know, you can do a lot of different stuff like that. Podcasts.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, I'd like to be a professional, like, comedian. You know, that's what I'd like to do, is be a professional.
Like stand-up or just performance?
You know what? I want to tour doing stand-up, but then I would love to be on the main stage in some, like, solid theater somewhere in, like, a larger city. You know, I'd like to be on a TV show. Like, you know,
even not saying the Warner Theater is a...
What's up?
Not saying the Warner Theater is a big place. That's pretty big, man.
What I mean, like, a theater, I guess, like, I was thinking more like... like UCB or Second City or one of those kind of theaters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like on their show, like, you know, whatever. Every Friday night from 8 to 10, there's this blah, blah, blah show. Yeah. And then there's a main stage. So people would pay like 10, 15 bucks to go see that.
Yeah.
And like, I'm one of those guys. And then like, I occasionally get in movies. I have a podcast and I tour as a stand-up comic. And like, maybe I write on a show, or maybe like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Something like that. I'd love to do that. That's what I'm trying to work towards. That's my goal. But that's very... it's clearly defined, but it's like, you know, I need like 10,000 hours to get there.
Yeah,
I mean, it's clearly defined, but then there's like many routes of how you get there.
So we're working on it now, Jen and I, and you know, Steve, we're going out. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go
let's see your pinnacle, Steve.
All right, I have to answer this in a couple of different ways, I guess, but I'll try to keep with the thread.
Sure.
I feel like, well, first of all, there's not a lot of money itself in improvisation. Just alone, like UCB mm-hmm. actors, that even the ones that are like, for example, Stepfathers is one of my favorite troops to watch at Upright Citizens Brigade. They're up there on Friday nights, and they don't make practically anything for that show, which is fine. It's just not a living, you know. They make money doing other things that improv enables them to do. There are a couple of people that are like, for Zach Wood is in Stepfathers, and Zach Wood is also in The Office. So something like being cast in a sitcom or sort of role that is actually inspired and written from improvisational scenes. So that's
excellent.
That's the pinnacle for me personally. But I'll go on to say that as well, like for an improv show itself, because we were talking about shows before, we're talking about bad shows now, I figure we're talking about really good shows now. For me, an ideal improv show is one where you have three distinct, completely separate threads that were inspired from the suggestion somehow, that go off and they get explored in their own directions, and then they come together in this magical, like, I don't even understand how these three plot lines just suddenly twisted and came to a climax in the end, and it's like this huge, it's like an mm-hmm. orchestral crescendo, and when it all goes right, it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, like, it's got to be super intelligent, and you got to, like, pull things off from different directions and, like, weave it.
It's very intimate because it's, like, because it's improvised. So when you're in the audience and you see that, like, the Herald, that's what, like, I guess we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you see the Herald done expertly by master improvisers, and they do weave, like, three disparate, like, plot lines together. It's not only, like, hilarious the whole damn trip, but then it's like so interesting, and like it's like only happens that one time, and you're in on it, and like that's like those jokes are so funny, because like you can't explain some of the things that happened the night you saw that Herald to somebody else, because it was so like, you know,
it's like you had to be there more. Right, it's like, sure.
Oh man, you don't understand. They were eating chili on the moon with Barack Obama, but they were wearing snowshoes, and then the Harlem Globetrotters showed up. It was so hilarious. They'll be like, "What the fuck are you talking about? Man, get the hell away from me."
I feel like so
but
many...
But they weren't there for the weaving, you know?
Right.
I think, like, what I've learned from checking out, like, improv is that there's so many ideas that can just come in, like, this 5 to 10 minute span or 30 minute span that you don't even know what happens. Like, forever, I'm always going to take in... When I saw a Groundlings show, I'm always going to take in Inside Scarf Guy. That was just something
That was the one thing we definitely took away from.
Nice.
Forever. I don't know how that built up or anything like that, but, you know, they're just trying to name people... There's, you know, they're just interacting and they're just naming names. Dude has a scarf. Inside Scarf Guy. And I was like, holy crap, I'm Inside Scarf Guy too. That I feel is what's amazing about just like that type of performance, that like, you know, you gotta be on the fly, but like, man, when magic is there, That's like iconic too.
Oh hell yeah!
Definitely.
That's the beautiful. That's the most beautiful thing about improv is that where you all of a sudden have this huge inside joke with you and everybody else that was there at the time. You develop instantaneously like 3 or 4 inside jokes.
Yeah. I've never done improv before in my whole entire life. The closest thing that I've ever done to improv is professional wrestling.
Whoa.
That's pretty close to improv, I have to say.
That's pretty super close. So like that mindset, because like, you know, all that, a majority of that's like, you know, you are improvising on the fly. You may have ideas, you want to go out, you know, but at the same time it is improv. Even Chris Jericho, he was a groundling. He's amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Y2J?
Right? Yeah, Y2J.
Y2J?
Y2J.
Yeah.
I know myself. Oh, God, I'm so embarrassed. I know that.
What? Don't be embarrassed. Why? I know everything
I
about
like
wrestling.
No, he was cool. He was really cool.
He's still very cool.
I was watching a...
What's his past tense?
On YouTube, there was a commercial.
Wait, do you guys like wrestling? Just to put it out there?
I'm aware of it.
You're like in the closet fan.
You know, I kind of like
it. You don't
want
to like fully go
it's
out.
It's not the first thing I watch.
Because that's like a physical improv and character improv at the same time.
Those
live on TV.
Those guys are fucking athletes. They really are, man.
It's not as improvised as you might think, though.
Well, there's the good ones now, Ken. They recently they're moving because now there's like more writers in play, just because there's not as good of talent out there.
Right.
But the best ones have everything they've done has been the best improv. You mean see Stone Cold? The reason why Stone Cold Steve Austin is huge is because, you know, when he said like Stone Cold says, Stone Cold 316 says, I'm gonna whip your ass.
Right.
Improv wasn't planned at all.
Really,
all the great moments are not planned.
Can you smell what the rock is cooking?
That's him. He made that up on the fly.
Yeah.
You know.
So okay, what about like People's Elbow and Corporate Elbow? Was that made up or was that written?
I mean, at the same time, it was probably everything's made up. But you know, once you start developing it and establishing it, it's just like I guess you know, if you're a good stand up, you're gonna take that on tour, the same jokes, and you're gonna work it out as long as it runs its course. That's why.
Like,
go ahead.
Let's say you can't write lines like necessarily like get her done and stuff like that. That happened on stage. The audience reacted and he was like, holy shit.
Money.
That's awesome. I'm going to say get her done again.
And those are the things that I love about improv.
I'm still like,
Dan Whitney.
I still feel like I need to get
Larry.
A catchphrase.
Like, everyone
like
needs
just
a catchphrase.
Like one catchphrase. Yeah. And it still hasn't come out at me yet though.
You'll get
like,
it.
Like I just need to keep talking and then one day it will come out and then I'll be
just
like,
keep talking.
Get her done. And it will just be there.
The catchphrase.
One day.
Start with onomatopoeia and then just start using that regularly and then I think the catchphrase will come to you over time.
So okay. Onomatopoeia.
Just be like Shazam and then over time you'll be like, noodles! Noodles! Yes.
I saw a program that was designed to determine the sex of the author. Right?
Whoa.
Of any given text. It could, based on word choice and order and that sort of thing, it could determine
if you're male or female.
Nice.
And it was largely, a very large portion of it was dependent on the use of onomatopoeia.
Really?
What?
Men use onomatopoeia both in speech and written text like 800 times more than women will.
That's so strange.
A guy will tell a story and he's talking about an accident. He's like, yeah, I was just sitting there, and then all of a sudden the semi just, bam, slowly wide sideswipe me. Women will never, almost never say that.
True story.
I was sitting there, and I was just so terrified, and it came out of nowhere, and it just ripped it.
Ripped it apart. I love I love how you, what women are to you.
You learned so much just now.
They all sound like that. My mother, my girlfriend.
They're all whimpering weak.
So weak. And
my girlfriend gets so mad at me too. I don't sound like that. Yes, you do.
Wow.
That's not how women sound to me, man. But they can.
They can.
No. They all can. Yeah, I mean that's we all can have a variation of that anyway. But yeah, that's what I love about improv, boom, because I can just sit there and watch and be like, "There's, well, I just did it, right?"
You did
exactly. I like doing that though.
I love it. I do it on so many tweets. I use a lot of. I hear that you are hardcore.
You are hardcore in Twitter, right?
We had a whole conversation.
This is I'm gonna feel
last
bad.
Week.
I feel bad.
I'm aggressive in a lot of different
but
ways.
But I feel bad because like I don't know if I'm following you. I'm probably not following you.
You better follow
him.
I
think we are.
Maybe
we're
very
but,
upset.
But if I'm not, I'm probably not following you. But don't take offense to that because I'm probably not following a million people.
Oh.
And this is for one reason, is I try not to be on any social. If I have a, there's a big illusion of me looking like I'm on there you all the time, like you, but I'm not.
Really?
Yes.
It's more like you get in, you say what you want to say, yes. and you get out.
Yes.
Yeah.
I get sucked in.
But
suck monkey.
But if you do, you know, if you do, you know, talk to me, I'll respond back.
Well, I think that we've went back and forth once or twice. On
yeah, because you directly spoke to me.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know what? I get really.
Don't take offense to that because I'm, you know.
No.
I'm not following Megan Fox. Or
how dare you? How
such
dare
restraint.
You?
I was telling them the story about how. Well, the reason we got asked on this wonderful podcast, the Carolyn Joe Show, was because we were upset that we were not invited on somebody else's podcast. So I tweeted, if somebody were to invite Tim and I on a podcast, we'd probably say yes. And so we got 3 podcast invites out of that, but not one of them was the one who I directed that message to.
This is a perfect story to end the show on.
Yes.
So he didn't respond to you back?
No.
See, but think of the rewards that you got. You got 3.
I got 3, so I don't need his. But I just want to point out that he, you know, we've had him on our show multiple times, and we're
oh wow,
we were friends. I think we're friends.
We were friends.
You know, and I respect.
I think you're
this
beyond
person.
It now.
I
forget
no,
about
not.
That person.
I'm not beyond it. We're never going to be beyond it until we get the invite.
I really thought we were over it about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I'm not over it. I'm even
still
more
going.
Now I want a paper invitation.
Oh, man.
Now verbal is not going to be enough.
Think about this.
We transcended this stuff, Jen. Where were Joe and Carolyn?
Think about this now, though.
So much better.
Think about this. The amount, like when this moment actually happens, think about the pressure that's going to happen because it's built up. When you're finally on that show, what could happen?
I could reach.
You're
say
stalking
no.
him.
I could say no.
I mean, what if you do?
I do stalk people. I'm not stalking this person yet. Maybe kind of.
That would be hilarious. You'd be so hilarious when you finally do get invited. You're like, no, I'm busy.
No, I can't. I'm overbooked.
Yeah, sorry.
This whole month is gone.
I can do a phone interview or phone podcast.
Yeah. We'll Skype it.
Yeah,
I could do a blog interview if you keep it to 5 questions or less.
Oh my God. 5 questions or less. And you answer all of them with one word.
One word. Yep. No.
I feel
yep.
like there's a time frame with everything because even like this one person sent me a bunch of questions for it and I genuinely was really busy. Like, I didn't have time to sit down and answer, like, a 15-question blog post at that time. It was super busy. And, like, but then, you know, I probably let maybe 2 months go past. And then one day I wasn't really that busy at work. And then I was just like, hey, so I can, like, answer these questions. And then I did. And then she, like, never posted on her blog because she kind of gave up on her blog, you know? So,
in the time frame that she asked you to 2 months. Answer these questions, she had given up on her blog.
Pretty much. I mean, I guess it's still up, but then I'm like, in my head, I'm like, how hard is it for you to copy and paste it? Because I already gave you all the answers. You just have to make the questions in bold.
That's the genius.
You know, and then that's pretty much all you got to do. I can do it in 30 seconds.
You know, it's funny. That's the amazingness of the internet. Like, there's so many. You can do whatever you want now. There's cameras that are so cheap. You can make your own movies now, but you realize who really wants to do it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Anybody can do it, but they can't really.
But the time frame thing, it's like if you pose that question of like, okay, there's your invitation. You got to act on that. Like, and I think it was proactive that you even sent out that tweet that said, hey, we'd be on anybody's podcast. Because look where it got you. You know what I mean? You're on our show.
I was going to follow up with, we'll come on any television show. We'll be on any movie.
You'll be surprised. That's actually how people, that's called a press release. That's how you get
that every tweet is a press release.
Yeah, that's how you get on the news.
That's what my problem's been.
You haven't been tweeting at all, dude.
So what happens when you hold conversations with other people on Twitter?
I mean, they're just public, they're only like a few sentences long.
It's a text message to the world, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I always feel awkward when I answer somebody else's question out of context.
So like,
yes, I would happily wear a pregnancy test tie with coat hanger, coat things.
I had fun having you guys on this show, man.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
We had a blast.
It was awesome.
Blast and a
half. I really enjoyed, like, also in the background, this painting.
I'm glad you like that.
I just want to put the smaller ones of Jennifer.
Yeah, that's really tiny.
I hope, like, if I look around, there's just, like, more just heads, paintings of you around.
Behind every door.
Yeah, but thanks. Promote websites. What do you got once again, what do you guys have?
Okay, what do we have?
And you have 40 seconds. You can do it.
Yeah, Jellyvision Live on Twitter. Find the Improv Imps and the Jellyvision Show on Facebook. And keep track of us.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Tim Trueheart. That's TimTrueHeart.
And I'm Steve Calamia at Steve Calamia. That's pretty easy on Twitter. Calamia is my last name.
Sweet.
Steve, you should be able to spell that.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. AstrayProductions.com. Did you say boom?
I said boom.
AstrayProductions.com, curls-studio.com. Don't forget to check out Carolyn's webcomic or comic strip online.
It's called Curls.
It's called Curls. Catch you later, Carolyn.
Boom shakalaka.